translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and in Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa? His mother's brother? Such a killing is not at all sanctioned in the shastras. Purport. One's maternal uncle, the brother of one's mother, is on the level of his, on the level of one's father. One's maternal uncle, the brother of one's mother, is on the level of one's father. When a maternal uncle has no son, his nephew legally inherits his property. Therefore, why did Krishna directly kill Kamsa, the brother of his mother? Maharaj Parikshit was very much inquisitive about the facts in this regard. Om Gyana Timirandasya, Gyana Janan Salakaya, Saksura Militam, Jena Tismai, Sigorave Namaha, Suchetaya Manobistam, Stavetam, Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupam Kadamayam, Dadati Sva Padantikam. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityananda Sahodita, Gododhaya Puspavanto, Chitro Chando Tamondo. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadarara, Sivasadhya Sigora Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Vanchakalpataribhyacha, Kripa Sundubhya Evacha, Patitana. Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangim Lagatim Grim, Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande, Sigurum Dintari. So, this is an interesting chapter, especially this text is very intriguing. Parikshit Maharaj, here is a dialogue between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami. Honestly speaking, Sukadev Goswami was just a small boy, young boy, teenager. Maharaj Parikshit was a king. All the folk should this type of dialogue take place between some older folk and a teenager? Traditionally, you know, the older folks have to impart knowledge to the younger folks. They are supposedly more experienced. But in spiritual realizations, this is not always the case. Because we find that not only in the Vedic culture, but even in other traditions, for instance, in Christianity, Lord Jesus was just a young guy, but, you know, compared to the other of his followers. So again, you find Lord Chaitanya apparently was very young. But, you know, look at his followers in terms of age. So age does not really matter so much in spiritual reality, in the spiritual context. Age is not so much important. Because we may say someone, I'm his senior, if it's based on age. But that is even semantically not correct. So maybe we could say I'm his elder or I'm her elder. Seniors and under team. So, even if we talk about in terms of age, but we understand that life is a continuum. In other words, we're not going to judge someone just based only on this life. If it is just based on only on this life, then why should innocent people be suffering? Apparently innocent people suffering. Child born today, deaf, blind, dumb. What sort of impartiality is this from God? So age, again, if we look at it retrospectively, then we may be able to have some philosophical thesis to support or to provide a solution to what is transpiring in a situation or what is happening to someone. And therefore, here, it is mentioned that Sukadev Goswami, basically he wants to know. He's asking some questions from Parikshit Maharaj wants to know. He's making inquiries. Atata Brahma Jigyasa. This is the exclusive function of human intelligence. Because how is it exclusive function? Spiritual inquiries. It's the exclusive function of human intelligence. Because even animals have intelligence, but then their intelligence is simply resting on, you know, not so much of discrimination. It's simply resting on ahara, nidra, baya, mitunya. Eating, sleeping, sex, and fighting. So the human intelligence is meant for spiritual inquiries. And here, Sukadev Goswami, he was taking advantage of the presence of, Maharaj Parikshit was taking advantage of the presence of Sukadev Goswami, a very revered, renowned, respected, highly knowledgeable sage. So age is not a barrier to acquire knowledge. Even materially speaking, you may be in a university and for instance, if you're a matured student, say an older folk who decides to go back to school, you find some of the professors could be your child. But that's not a barrier to acquire knowledge. So, in the spiritual circles, age is not a barrier to make inquiries. So here, Sukadev Goswami is, he's transforming Maharaj Parikshit with information, transcendental information culture. And Sukadev and Maharaj Parikshit is very inquisitive. One of the major prerequisites in acquiring spiritual information is to be inquisitive. So here Maharaj Parikshit is asking questions. Sometimes people think that, to ask questions is just an easy thing. No, to ask questions requires a lot of critical thinking. If you're not a critical thinker, you can't ask questions. To answer questions, if I have the knowledge, I can always answer a question. But that does not require so much of critical thinking. The person who asks a question, it takes a lot of energy. He has to muster so much of, cogitation to think at something to be able to ask. I remember when I was doing a graduate program in a philosophy and education, and in this course on critical and creative thinking, you're given a paragraph, a 5 lines paragraph. Professor gives you 5 lines paragraph of any topic. He will ask you to generate 25 questions from those 5 lines. Generate 25 questions. So sometimes, we see in the sastra, someone is making inquiries, and we don't really understand the implications of questioning. And questions could be open-ended or closed-ended questions. And these are open-ended questions because they are not just requiring no or yes. False or true. No, these are open-ended questions. Parikshit is asking open-ended questions. Open-ended questions require elaboration, details, insights. So, Parikshit is asking, so this Krishna, take care of his uncle. And that's not It's not ordained in this house. It's not sanctioned in this house. I mean, it's like one time, you know, Narada visited Hanuman. And then he told Hanuman that, actually, you are not a devotee. You are not a devotee. Hanuman said, explain. What's your purport? What's the purport to this? He said, because see, you are an arsonist. You committed an arson. You burned Lanka. You killed people with fire. A devotee cannot kill. And you're an aggressor because one of the persons, we don't kill, but one of the persons that you are sanctioned, you are authorized to kill is an aggressor. Someone who is aggressive. And there are different types of aggressors. One who puts fire into a house is one of them. In criminal law, they say it's called arson. So now that I said, come on, devotees don't act like that. So it's a similar question here that is coming up that, hey, an uncle? Oh. Maternal uncle? You have to treat him like your father. How come that Krishna killed his maternal uncle? In other words, you know, Krishna is something else. By the way, how could he kill his uncle? But it is not just a question of killing. If we go into the history of Kamsa, for instance, if you study historiography of Kamsa, you find that Kamsa, you know, we find these Satgabas, the sons of Kalanemi. And Kalanemi is a son to Hiranyakasipu. The Satgabas, Hiranyakasipu was their grandfather. Satgabas went to make some heavy austerities to petition Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma gave them a boon. So Lord Brahma appeared to them and said, what do you want? And it's a similar boon that Hiranyakasipu demanded from Lord Brahma. No demigod should kill us. No demon should kill us. No weapon. And all, it's almost the same thing that Hiranyakasipu demanded from Lord Brahma. And when Hiranyakasipu got to know, so he called them up and said, come on, you have left my shelter? Are you going to seek for refuge with Lord Brahma? You rascal kids. So he cursed them. You will be killed. And your father should be the one to kill you. So Kalanemi took bed after being killed by Vishnu in a battle. He took bed as Kamsa. And that's why when Narada appeared to Kamsa and was trying to expedite the process of, you know, Krishna's advent, he gave ideas about his previous birth and all the stuff. And these narrations are given in the Harivamsa. And this very Kamsa, again, Ugrasena was a very reputable religious king. How come he gave birth to a demon? Oh, we may say, oh, but, you know, even in Hiranyakasipu, you gave birth to Prahlad. So what's the difference? No, but how come, historiographically, how come that Ugrasena gave birth to Ugrasena and Padmavati, they gave birth to Kamsa? It means Ugrasena was not having high consciousness, purified consciousness, and we understand that at the time of mating, the consciousness, the collective consciousness of the wife and then the husband, they will invoke a particular soul into the womb of the wife. So they were having some polluted consciousness. Ugrasena was having polluted consciousness. Padmavati was having a polluted consciousness. That led to the invocation of you know, cancer into the womb of Padmavati? Is that the case? No. So again, in the heart of Vamsa, it is mentioned how Padmavati, when she got married, her father is actually also a king, Satyaketu at Vidarbha. And, you know, people are attached to their kids. If even they're grown up, whether they are married, they are attached to their kids. I mean, I remember even one day, you know, I think I was in Nigeria, I was on TV program. I don't know, some of my brothers, maybe they saw me and then they told my dad. So just a few minutes after the TV program, I got a phone call. Hey, boy, I heard you around. When are you coming? So I said, come on, I'm an old man. I mean, I have my schedule. So, so people are attached to their kids. So Satyaketu, she invited this married lady, married young girl, to come over. She sent a messenger to Mathura Puri. You let her come. I miss her. We miss people we love. So when Padmavati came, she was just strolling. And then she went on to Puspavan Mountain. And then there she sat by a lake, was watching this one, a very attractive scenery. And one guy came. On Gandhava, Godila or Dramila. He came and the beauty of Padmavati just captured him. They say, you know, he was pierced with arrow of lust. And Gandhava, they can do anything. So he changed into the body of Ugrasena. And then he came. And then, you know, the innocent lady thought that, oh, her husband has come all the way from Mathura Puri to see her. At her, you know, as she went to be with the parents. Now, it happens because, you know, sometimes the wife goes to see the parents and the husband can't really contain the separation. He misses the wife so much and then all of a sudden he abandoned his job and he flies over there. So Padmavati thought, wonderful. My husband has come. So they fell in love. That resulted to some pregnancy. And when later they realized that, oh, it's a whole mistake, man. The parents wanted to even abort the child. No way. Again, it's mentioned in the heart of Kamsa how Kamsa, when he was in the womb, he told the mother that Mata, you see, I have come to stay. I have come to stay. And I'm coming for a purpose. You try to kill me. Please don't kill me. Because they've struggled. That was not even what, you know, stopped them from annihilating or aborting the child. But they tried several ways to abort the child. No way. The parents even were involved. Satyaketu and the wife were involved. No way. So again, you know, sometimes we depend so much on sophisticated modern technology to kill people, kill children in the womb. But sometimes it doesn't work. Yeah? Some souls are really very stubborn. And if you try too much, they may take the life of the mother also. So, Kamsa was eventually born. But it is not that this is the direct child of Ugrasena. Kamsa was not. And we find in the life of Kamsa, he was the personification of tyranny. Tyranny. Someone who likes to subjugate people. And we find also he committed lots and lots of the killing of children. So, there are many neo-cancers these days. Neo-cancers. Small, modern cancers. People killing the unborn child. People killing the born babies. And human beings are imbued with this type of tyrannical tendency. This comes above. We like to subjugate people. We like to control people. We like to kill. Like in political regimes, if someone is opposing your government, you know, sometimes, you know, the person may be, it may be arranged for the person to be assassinated. And some presidents of countries were assassinated because their policies, someone thought, does not go well with me. So these are, you know, the modern cancer or cancer bava. And we do have the cancer bava. We do have. We like to control. Especially when we are given some position, we want to subjugate others. We want everyone to subscribe to our policies and decisions, otherwise you are tagged as an enemy. And therefore we find that although Kamsa was very powerful, it's mentioned he was having the strength. What was the comparison of Kamsa's strength? How many thousands of elephants? He was having the strength of how many thousands of elephants? Yes. Bhakti Sastris tell us. And if you don't know, I'll ask the ladies, they will tell us. You know, in Detroit, I went to Detroit a couple of times, and we are giving a class. You ask the men the questions. When you ask the men the questions, they can't answer. And I like posing questions. Otherwise, people just sit down and, you know. When you ask the many questions in Detroit, no, the men are not able to give the answer. You turn to the ladies, and then you have so many hands up. And then the men say that, oh, because we go to work, and they just stay at home, and they are reading. Yes. Kamsa's strength was up to the strength of how many elephants? Huh? You just read it there. It's okay. I'm just joking. Yes, so he was having that type of strength, so powerful. And when Kamsa was escorting Devaki to their husband's house, newly wedded, and when he had a voice, the proclamation that, hey, you must be stupid. This lady you are escorting, the eighth child of this woman is going to kill you. So, you know, Prabhupada mentioned in the Krishna book, he comes and grabbed the elf Devaki and threw her down, stepped on her chest. So, also when Krishna killed Kamsa, when Krishna dragged Kamsa from his dais, and drag him all over the place and then throw him down. He climbed. He smashed on Kamsa's chest. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His weight is like the weight of the universe, or more than the weight of the universe. Who can sustain that? So again, he had a Vamta mention that just to Pastor. It was too much. And because Kamsa had a strength of 100,000 elephants, people were doubting whether he was dead or he was just unconscious. Yeah, later it was realized that, yeah, he was dead. So, no matter how, this is the point, no matter how powerful one may be, you can't, if Krishna wants to kill, marry Krishna, rakha Krishna, marry. If Krishna wants to kill, no one can really protect the person. If Krishna wants to protect us, no one can kill us. So this is a good rationale to be able to take proper shelter of Lord Krishna. Because even the most powerful demon, Krishna could kill him. And if Krishna wants to protect his devotee, basically no one can harm him. To that degree, we are surrendered unto Krishna. To that degree, we get protected by the Lord. Because he mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mam Ekam Saranam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishin Master. Sometimes we think, well, I'm surrendered. For past 30 years, I'm a surrendered soul. Why am I suffering like this? Why this has happened to me? Why this has happened to me? We surrender because we put on tila, because we put on dhoti, we put on the kanta mala. Again, there's a procedure, different angles of surrender. And so, the point is that Krishna will come to kill the demons, like I mentioned the other day. But these demons are anantas that we are having. And so, a Kamsa basically is the embodiment of, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you see demonic qualities. Kamsa is just the embodiment of all of these demonic qualities. And when we perform devotional service, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the Shikshamrita, when we perform devotional service, then Krishna kills all of these demons in us. And so, we stand to gain with any devotional service we perform, no matter how small it may be. We stand to be purified. We stand to gain. And so people who are not properly situated in Vedic wisdom, they tend to point accusing fingers at Krishna. Krishna instigated Arjuna to war. Krishna killed his uncle. So, but I'm going to stand up. This is all part of the drama, part of the arrangement of the director of this very theatrical performance. People are very amazed, movie actors. Krishna is the best of movie actors. He set up the scenario and then let things flow. But it is not just for entertainment like the movie stars do. It is for a purpose of purification, a purpose of cleansing, a purpose of a positive change. And so we can take advantage to allow Krishna to kill all of our anatas by taking proper shelter of, again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, by taking shelter of Nama Prabhu, we have so many unwanted things in our hearts. And by performing devotional service, we'll become cleansed of all these anantas. Just like Krishna killed Kamsa. Krishna will kill all of these unwanted tendencies in our hearts. Are there some comments or some questions?